Welcome to a world where, in the not-too-distant future, cryptocurrency will be powering an entire fucking city.
What?
What do you think of that shit?
How?
Hello, and welcome to the shit what the they do not tell you.
Can you just say our podcast name correctly?
I just did.
It's shit they don't tell you.
Well, I was conjugating the word.
Like, what if someone was like, this is the first episode they listen to, and then they're trying to research for it. They're like, yeah, listen to this podcast called That the Shit That they don't Tell You, and I Googled it, and I can't find.
The shit that they don't even tell you.
Don't.
That's what I was saying.
Stop.
No, please welcome to the show, and we also have my lovely wife, Nikki.
Hello, I'm just a wife. Just joining in today.
Lovely wife.
I'm a lovely wife just joining in today.
Well, that's how they tend to introduce people like over the past like 30 years. It's like, and this is my lovely wife.
Even if they're a co-host?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, so I'm not just accompanying you on all your right, show. Sure. It's not like bring your wife to work day.
It's definitely not that.
What are we talking about today, chump?
Okay, today, everyone knows I'm a crypto boy. I love crypto. I enjoy
big
crypto.
Big time crypto boy.
Big time crypto boy. And so there's a lot of exciting developments in what's called the Ethereum DeFi space, or DeFi, decentralized finance, right?
Okay.
And so the idea is that a lot of the centralized power right now is in banking.
Yes.
Like if you want to go get a loan right now,
you have to go to a bank.
And what do you have to do?
You have to apply.
And how is that process?
Fucking annoying as fuck. Like you have to like prove you have income and prove like you've like paid all your taxes and that you have a business that's making money, and if you're applying for a home loan, you got to prove that you make a certain dollar amount and prove that your credit's good and
why do you basically have to open your life up to these people in order to get a loan, right? Like there's a logical reason behind it.
Yeah,
it's because
trust.
It's trust, right? So they need to be able to make sure that they get their money back from you.
Yeah.
And so they have like a series of, you know, they calculate based on your income, based on your assets and all this stuff, what they can probably loan you and you'll probably pay back within a certain amount of time.
Right.
But the problem with banking as it exists now, one of the problems, there's many, is that it's all centralized. Like there's really just a couple of banks and they all, you know, are in charge of everything.
So they get to make all the rules.
Exactly. And yeah. And so the invasiveness of loans and of really all of, you know, our financial experiences are extremely invaded by the banking institutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they know what you spent, where, who with, like
they know too much.
They can, yeah, they know all of it. And but what's more interesting is that we really don't have any control over whether we like that or not.
Yeah.
There is no competition for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go get a loan from them. There's really nowhere else to go. Unless you build cash yourself and you take the heavy risk of, you know, or the risk of time too, like, hey, mm-hmm, I'm not going to start my business yet because I don't have enough money yet and I don't want to go get a loan.
Or you could maybe do a GoFundMe,
right? So there's just a couple options, right?
Yeah.
And you could maybe do it could maybe not work out. So and just like getting a loan too. So what's cool about this burgeoning environment with Ethereum right now, with crypto, but I say crypto, but it's like Ethereum is a cryptocurrency.
Because when people hear crypto, they think Bitcoin. Correct?
Always.
Yeah.
And I even play into that sometimes because I say Bitcoin all the time, but I really don't even care about Bitcoin that
much. It's like when people are talking about tissues and they call it Kleenex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that helps the average person who is watching me understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I've heard of Bitcoin.
Right. So
right.
I'm really not even saying that half the time.
So in the cryptocurrency space, Bitcoin is just one type of coin. There are many different types of coins.
Bitcoin is considered digital gold, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, just like gold, you can't really use it as a transfer of value very easily,
mm-hmm,
right? Like Bitcoin is expensive to use right now, and it's very sluggish because it takes longer to send a Bitcoin around than it would if you used Ethereum right now, for example.
Ethereum is another coin.
It's another cryptocurrency, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's based on smart contracts. And it's basically, I mean, everything came from Bitcoin. So we're all very thankful for Bitcoin.
Right.
I'm glad Bitcoin came out. I'm glad Satoshi made Bitcoin. I just don't think that Bitcoin is a little obsolete in comparison to the way that the Ethereum space is being used right now. Like, mm-hmm. like Bitcoin's not even used that much compared to Ethereum. Like the entire crypto community.
And uses when you way say more. Use, like, what do you mean by use? Like, how are people using these currencies?
So, right now there's this huge burgeoning thing called DeFi that I talked about, right? And people are able to become the bank almost, and they're able to become the borrower. So if I want to take out a loan, I can do that without sitting down in an office anywhere. I don't have to have a conversation with somebody. I don't have to show them my bank statements and open my life up to them. I can do it via smart contract built on top of Ethereum, like on an application built on top of Ethereum. And so it allows me to get a loan by putting up my Ethereum as collateral or whatever token, but mostly people are using Ethereum. You put that up as collateral, and you actually are going to put up a little bit more than your loan is worth, right? So that way the lender has a low risk of you paying them back, right? Because it's all locked up in a smart contract. There is no, like, I'm going to take your loan and run and I'm not paying you. Like, it's all locked up in a smart contract. So if you don't pay the loan back, it goes to the lender.
The Ethereum.
Exactly. Yeah. And it goes automatically via blockchain. So, like, which is incredible, right? Like this stuff didn't exist even 5 years ago.
Right.
And now it's getting super popular because people are starting to get huge yields based off of interest on the collateral that's being, like, transacted. So it's just a wild time right now.
Yeah.
And there's many applications built on top of this. So if you think of Ethereum as money, and you think of Bitcoin as money, think of the DeFi space as, like, almost like banking, or and you can almost lock them together or break them apart like Legos. So, like, there are things that exist, applications that exist that you can plug in together for different use cases. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, what do you mean? Like, what? So which certain coins can be used on certain things?
So not the coins. I mean, yes, but it's really not about the coins right now. It's about the application that you're using. So right now, all this stuff is being linked together. Like, if you think of Bitcoin as money and Ethereum as money, and really just ignore Bitcoin right now. We're talking mostly about the Ethereum space. If you look at Ethereum as money, the DeFi space is sort of like the bank, right? And the financial markets. And so you're able to lend liquidity, which is, you know, in financial
cash.
Terms, exactly. It's cash. It's like you're able to provide people who want to borrow money the money. And you earn interest on giving them money.
So I could be basically like a loan distributor.
Yes, you are the bank.
I am the bank.
Which is unreal.
Huh. Just by what? Having a certain amount of Ethereum?
Yes. So you could buy some Ethereum, and if somebody wants to borrow like part of your Ethereum, on Ethereum, whatever. Like, an Ethereum is like $400 right now, right?
Okay.
So let's say you wanted to borrow 400, like one Ethereum mm-hmm. from me. I'm like, well, what's my incentive? Why would I let you borrow my Ethereum? Because maybe you want to go trade it. You want to go use it to make some other currency, say. Like, you want to go buy something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Why would I do that without incentive? So the incentive is that you're paying me in, and then this is just one example, you're paying me in a token, mm-hmm. basically, that allows me to recoup my Ethereum with interest.
How does that token work?
It's basically locked in, like, so all this is done by smart contract,
right?
So you don't have to
is
think
that the
about
new part of like the new part that's come into play?
Yes.
Okay.
This is all very, very new.
Yeah.
And so within, I mean, this is really probably 2 years old now.
Yeah.
But it's really gotten hot lately. We're talking like billions of dollars are locked up in Ethereum right now, which provides scarcity to Ethereum, which makes Ethereum more attractive price wise, which mm-hmm. is why it's gone up past couple days. So That's the key that I want to focus on, guys. Like, if you're getting scrambled out there, what I want to focus on right now is the fact that banking and our financial industry is extremely centralized.
I just need one thing cleared
up. Please,
please. Because this is the part that's not making sense to me. Is if I am going to you for a loan because I want a certain amount of money and maybe I want to buy a house or whatever, how would I be able to put up collateral equal to so that you feel secure if I'm needing that money? If I don't have that money, how am I even able to put up that collateral?
Well, that's why I think that this is still new, right? So people aren't really using this to buy homes and stuff.
Okay. Yet.
I mean, well, actually, okay.
Is it a deposit? Is it a down payment? Like, what is that collateral equal to?
The collateral is in crypto, right?
So, but is it equal to the amount that I'm borrowing, or is it like just a fraction of it?
So today it is, right? But that can fluctuate because crypto is volatile. So, like, for example, a couple months ago, about $1 billion was liquidated in like 24 hours in the Ethereum community, which wiped out a lot of loans because all of a sudden, if you have your Ethereum locked up in a smart contract and Ethereum's worth way less than what your loan was, you just got liquidated.
I see.
So your loan is gone.
I see.
So that's where right now all this is very risky.
Yeah.
And I don't advise anyone using it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's exciting is that I think within the next
beta basically.
Exactly. It's very, very early days. But but the exciting thing to me that I want everyone to focus on out there, don't worry so much about the minutia of this stuff, is that within your lifetime we will be taking power away from the banks and giving it back to the people. And that's what I think is so cool about all this stuff. And a lot of people say, well, Steve, aren't they just going to buy in too or whatever like that? But the point is that the banks don't have central authority over whether you get to get a loan or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be handled via you and another party, and it's all secured on top of Ethereum. And so you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
Like in the near future. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do this stuff now. But that's what's so exciting right now, is that we get to, within our lifetime, see something like that happen.
I'm really excited for it to not be controlled by the banks. But then does that mean it's controlled by, like, an AI? Like, who is in? It's just completely decentralized because of the blockchain?
Well, yeah, it's decentralized insofar as you don't know necessarily who you're getting a loan from.
Yeah.
And you don't need anyone's permission. So it could be somebody living in another country and you don't need to even talk to them. The loans are basically, it's like, hey, this much is available. And then you say, that's what I want to get. And then you put up your collateral and then that loan gets provided to you.
Mm.
And then you locked up your collateral. So then, unfortunately, if Ethereum tanks, you are liquidated. So that's why it's scary to do right now.
How am I liquidated and not the person I just borrowed the loan from?
I'm sorry, the person who you borrowed from is liquidated.
Yeah.
Exactly. So your Ethereum, but it's still, it's the same idea, right?
Right.
So your Ethereum goes to them.
Right, right.
So then you are liquidated because
my Ethereum's liquidated, but I got their cash.
You have what they loaned you.
Yes. In cash?
In crypto.
Oh, I thought you said it was liquid.
It is.
Oh, okay.
It's liquid crypto.
Okay.
This is confusing, huh?
This part is confusing. Okay. I just wanted to explain. I think people are interested, but I think that there's just questions. Like when you said earlier, like liquid means cash.
Yes.
I mean, that's I think what everyone thinks of when they think liquid is cash.
I'm talking liquid as far as crypto liquid.
What is that? What is crypto liquid? Because if I want to buy something, I don't know if the you know, you said home's too big, but what? I'm trying my phone. Like, that's, they're not going to accept liquid crypto. They're going to accept cash.
They might actually accept crypto in some places. It depends on what it is, how big it is. But because there's crypto ATMs all over the place now. Like, crypto's been pretty accepted in a lot of regions.
But I'm thinking things that, like, if you're going to get a loan, like a loan is like, it's an amount that you don't have, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a couple thousand dollars at least. It's a bigger amount.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so let me give it to you like this. Right now, the attractive thing about this stuff isn't so much I'm going to use this to buy a car.
Okay.
It's I'm going to use this to trade. And if I can trade and up my amount of Ethereum through trading with money that I'm borrowing, I will double my stack of Ethereum by when I pay back my loan, I also have profits from the Ethereum that I use to trade.
So you can use the crypto they're loaning to you to purchase more Ethereum?
Exactly. And then you get yours released back to you via smart contract when you pay back the loan. So you just doubled your income potentially. That's what a lot of people are doing with it right now. They're trading with it.
I see.
So where this goes eventually, I think as Ethereum reaches this thing called the freeze, where there will be less and less and less Ethereum issued out per day, and eventually it will slow down, and then Ethereum gets more and more scarce, and I think that you'll see much less volatility in the price.
So you're banking on the fact, if you're taking a loan out, you're banking on the fact that the ROI percentage that you're getting on the new Ethereum you're investing in is going to outpace the interest that you're going to owe on this loan.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're a loan giver, the incentive is that it's a locked in interest rate.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it could be win-win, right? As long as you don't do something stupid with the money that you borrowed,
which is
how this environment is too.
As long as the market isn't so volatile that everything crashes and burns.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I say within the next couple years.
Yeah, but this is exciting because it's the testing part of it right now.
Exactly.
It's like when the internet was first born, everyone was like, the internet's not going to be something that everyone's going to use. It's like so hard to use and like only some people can access it and blah, blah, blah. And like there were only like 5 web pages.
Exactly.
I remember like being in elementary school and everyone first got the internet, Internet Explorer. And I was in like the gate classes, and like we'd get pulled from our normal class and we'd have to go like write research papers, and you use the internet to find your research. And it was like brand new. Like it was the first time we weren't using the library to like research something. And there, like, you, if you're researching watercolor, there's like only watercolor.com. Like that's it. Like you can't like compare or anything. Like you're very limited. And so it's like, of course, if you're short-sighted, you just see like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
It takes forever to load a page. You have to use the phone to do it. Your phone bill is now like super high because you like use your phone to access this internet. And like, who are you going to talk to? Drug dealers? Like, why would anyone ever use this thing? And then now, after years and years and years, the internet is something that people can't imagine life without internet now. Everything runs on the internet. Every app, every, like, all these services, businesses, everything runs on the internet now. So I feel that way about crypto.
Me
what
too.
You're talking about with decentralizing the finance is that, like, right now is an exciting time because it's brand new, and
yes,
that and people are working out the kinks, and they're the most motivated to innovate in this stage.
Big time. And there's
yeah.
a lot of incentive to innovate too. A lot of people getting fucking rich off of this stuff, right? Like,
right.
Because it's still early days. It's really not very easy for end users to use still. Like, for users have the roughest time with a lot of this stuff because they're like, I don't understand what a MetaMask wallet is, and how do I use a Ledger Nano S to transact with a blockchain? And it's just very confusing to a lot of people.
Right.
Still. And so that's why I still think it's early days as far as the potential of the space, and like when it comes to adoption, like really nobody uses this stuff like the way, I mean, a lot of people are using it, more people are using it than ever. Billions of dollars are transacting through the air a day that
yeah.
we don't even know about in old financial sectors. They just go, oh, that's Bitcoin stuff, right? Or maybe they know Ethereum now. But what's amazing is all of the different applications getting built on top of this stuff and where it could go. But like you said, it's very early.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it was with the internet. I'll just use that analogy again, because like, I remember like a web address, like a HTML or like a, http://, people were like, what the fuck? This is like a crazy code that you have to enter in order to find a web. It's just too complicated.
So now imagine a world where in the not too distant future, you can tokenize your own assets and put them on the blockchain, and where they have a value compared to your asset. It's like one-to-one tied into your asset.
Yeah.
So if your house price goes up or down, it's tied to this token asset that you can transfer to people, right? So if I want if I want to get a loan for my house, mm-hmm. or if I want to build an extension on my house, I can tokenize my house and use that to secure a loan.
But you might lose your house right
just
now.
Just like
yeah.
how it is right now.
Yeah.
It's no different, right?
Right.
But you're not. But it's probably a more secure loan, as far as the way that it exists right now, because you're using money, you're using like basically a little bit more than it's worth to get the loan for it.
Okay.
But that's not really not where anyone wants to go ideally with this stuff.
Right.
So I'm not thinking that by the time you get to tokenizing your house, it's going to be like that. But that's kind of the one-to-one comparison for now.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could tokenize your car. You could actually share value with somebody else for an asset that you both own together.
How does that work?
So eventually, you're going to be able to tokenize, say, your house. Mm-hmm. You can tokenize real estate that you might own. You can tokenize your car. And the idea is, and I'll just read this to make sure I get this exactly on, right? It addresses several challenges in capital formation and liquidity, like we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Which is real estate owners can offer smaller investment denominations by fractionalizing a property through blockchain-based system, which expands distribution to a broader and more diverse investment group. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
So I can tokenize my house and offer smaller investment denominations to my property, right? So instead of you needing to own my entire, I have a 30 unit apartment building.
Okay.
I could actually feasibly rent out one of these via the blockchain at a smaller denomination.
Okay. So someone buys like a 30th of your coin or what?
Well, they buy a 30th of your property.
Of your token.
Via blockchain. Okay. So there's no like middleman fees, all the bullshit you have to deal with. You have to go sit down somewhere and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you'd be doing it all through blockchain.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of what the banking systems rely on right now is being a middleman for a lot of these different things and getting money off the top when they loan things, or if you don't make your loan, like they get to liquidate your property. Like a lot of that stuff is going to still exist, but it will not be centralized.
Okay.
So it could still be an evil world. It's just that individuals will be.
There's no incentive for an individual to get greedy on it.
Well, there's no central authority that's saying like we can control all of it. We control all the loans in this space. You go control all the loans in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way that it is right now, there's a lot of room for corruption, surprise, surprise.
Right.
Like this, the idea is that it would just become more about people interacting with each other and less about people interacting with banks.
Got it.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to directly interact with them either.
At all.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. It's all done blockchain-wise. Mm-hmm. So that's why tokenization of assets is super cool, because a lot of the stuff where you do real estate, you have a broker fee, all that stuff would be eliminated. There's no middleman anymore. You don't have to, you know, it's just like what Amazon did to Walmart and all these places. They became the middleman, right?
Right.
They just jumped in front of them and said, we're going to give you everything, right? But this is more about, you don't need Amazon now. Whoever the person with the product is would just get the product to you. And they would probably still use like a carrier, obviously, and all that kind of shit. But the idea is that it would be built on a blockchain system, on some interface that would link one person with another. And then those two people would do what's called an atomic swap, where they transact one crypto for another crypto instantaneously.
Okay, what would be the point of that?
Same thing as how finance is right now. Like I agree to give you this amount of money and you agree to give me that product.
If you have that much collateral to put up in the first place, then why do you need the money? Or, you know, why would you need that other, if they're equal, like what do you need that other token? I don't get it.
Okay. So that's a big gap in what I've been talking about here.
Yeah.
So if you, this is part of what's dangerous right now about the DeFi space.
Okay.
If you think, based on whatever, you know, indications you have that a cryptocurrency is going to go up, you could take out a loan, buy more of it, it goes up, then you buy out your own loan, and now you have way more crypto than you had before.
Gotcha.
Right? So then the same thing would happen with like your property or whatever.
Okay.
So but I doubt it would get to that. I doubt it would get to
so
that.
So like a analogous... It, thing would be that if you took a loan from the bank and then put it into the stock market, hoping that it makes money and then pay the loan back.
High risk shit.
Right.
Probably shouldn't
Super
do
high
it.
Risk.
Probably shouldn't do it. But that's
But the
kind
fact
of,
that you can do it on Bitcoin right now or
on Ethereum.
Crypto on Ethereum right now
is shocking.
Interesting part.
Yes.
Okay. Because then you could cash out those Ethereum for cash.
Anywhere. Yeah. I mean, you could do it through several exchanges.
Yeah.
Mostly Coinbase is one, Kraken's one, Gemini. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's pretty wild.
All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something else to do with cryptocurrency.
That's right. We'll be right back.
I don't even know.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to a world where, in the not-too-distant future, cryptocurrency will be powering an entire fucking city.
What?
What do you think of that shit?
How?
So, if you can tokenize everything... Mm-hmm. onto a blockchain or a public ledger. You now, let's say that where there's waste in certain things, like the UAE has voted to fully put all their government services on the blockchain mm-hmm. by I think the end of 2020 or 2021. But the idea being that if you can tokenize everything on a public ledger. And everything exists on the blockchain. There's no room for human error with a lot of the things that happen right now. Like they project the government of Dubai projects that they are going to be able to save $1.5 billion in document processing fees alone just by going blockchain.
Huh.
So when you look at all the fraud and the abuse that happens in a lot of government. Usually places like that, document processing, all that wasteful things like that, you're now just putting it on the blockchain and now you remove the human error.
Right.
So it just becomes an instant transaction that no person puts their fingers into and can fuck with.
That's cool.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
So
it's more secure.
That's right. And that's what at the bottom of the line, all this stuff is more secure than typical finance. Like the big problem right now with a lot of this stuff is you can still maybe get your funds stolen by user error. Like you do something dumb, you log in somewhere with your private key and get your shit stolen. But that's really on you right now. Like the scam is something that you probably were involved in. Whereas like, you know, a couple years ago, there was still a lot of vulnerabilities and people were taking advantage of that. But as of even right now, like Ethereum has never been hacked.
Mm-hmm.
Like none of that has ever gone down. What happened was there was a hack called the DAO where the exchange where all the tokens of Ethereum at the time were got hacked, but not the blockchain itself. Mm-hmm. There was no vulnerabilities in the blockchain itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of where... I see all this going is tokenizing everything so that whenever when you travel internationally, you know, when we went to Bali and you have to go there and get transfer your currency for their currency, pay a ridiculous fee.
The like exchange currency exchange.
Yeah. So all that will be neutralized. I don't think that stuff will exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think you're going to have to worry about going to a country and actually setting up, sitting down with somebody and doing any of that. Now you're just going to be able to go to a country, you use your phone, you use a QR code, and it transacts seamlessly via blockchain so that there's less of a fee mm-hmm. when you use it. Whereas like right now you get like 3%, 4% fee. Like that gets cut way down because blockchain doesn't need to pay for all these different layers of security. It's already built into it.
That's cool.
So you remove that, right?
Yeah.
The pain in the ass of that. I have hated traveling to places and worrying about their local currency and right. all that stuff. Like, it's such a pain in the ass.
Well, even like if you use a debit card, you get charged by the bank and stuff. Like,
exactly.
You get extra fees and stuff put on.
So what I also predict within the next couple years, like say 5 years, Japan's going to have a stable currency that they're going to use.
Cryptocurrency.
And what I mean by stable is for every one of their dollars, it will be tied algorithmically to their stable currency.
Hmm.
So it's always worth whatever their actual paper currency is worth.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And that's what there's a thing called Tether right now, or there's one called USDC, which is Coinbase issued. And it basically is the same idea. And there's like we're talking tens of billions of dollars right now transacting just on stable coins in the crypto sphere. So people do that because they want to take advantage of whatever, arbitrage, because they're worried. Like arbitrage is like exchanging value between two different places that offer something for two different prices.
Mm-hmm.
You could take advantage of that with certain, if you have the right speed and you do it quickly,
mm-hmm.
you could take advantage of those differences and make a lot of money on that. So that's a huge use case for this stuff. But as far as like for you and me,
mm-hmm.
I'm mostly just excited about all of the middleman stuff in our world
yeah.
getting removed.
I wonder if they could do that with taxes, too.
Put it all on the blockchain.
Yeah, because like it's just a fucking bitch, you know? Like it's just all this annoying stuff that the middleman, all the mm-hmm. middleman stuff like that you're talking about. Like I feel that way about pretty much all financial institutions, because like there's a fee for everything.
Yes, there's a fee for everything. You have to sign up for everything.
Yeah,
like that stuff annoys me the most too. Is KYC, know your customer. You mm-hmm. have to log in, give us your email, what's your password.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of that's for identity fraud prevention and stuff. But...
Sure, but some of it is just damn ridiculous. Like mm-hmm. I was on Nat Geo earlier, and they wanted my KYC.
Oh.
Like, I'm just trying to read an article about the tribe that vanished, the colony that vanished in, like, the 1580s or whatever in Roanoke, Virginia.
Why do you have to research? It was aliens, obviously.
It had to be aliens. I think it was aliens. I mean,
clearly.
They left a little hint on a tree saying Croatian or something. They wrote it on a tree. But then by the time I got to that part, a fucking thing popped up and said, if you want to keep reading this article, you got to put in your email.
I hate how, like, everything became put in your Facebook. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not giving you my Facebook.
Yeah, what's with that?
I always opt for email over the Facebook because I'm like, no.
Me too, because I use junk-ass email accounts.
Yeah, exactly.
I never check them.
Yeah.
So that's why, yeah, when it comes to especially payments, man, that's obviously everyone knows that's my fucking favorite.
Yeah.
Like I've been buying pretty much heavily into the payments space through this one called OMG Network now. They rebranded to OMG Network. That's mm-hmm. the one that I own. So
how does that work? What is that?
I've talked about it before a little bit, but basically the idea is that they're going to take, they have a network now. It's in mainnet. They launched it and they're going to take all of the Ethereum gas fees and cut them by one third. So right now there's a lot of congestion.
What you need to speak in, because what's a gas fee? Like,
I'm so sorry.
Okay. It sounds like gasoline.
Okay, so right now when you use Ethereum, you pay what's called gas.
Okay.
And so if I transact with Nikki, I'm spending a certain amount of gas that gets taken out of that transaction so that I can send it to you.
Okay, so it's a fee. It's like a processing fee.
And it gets paid to the miners.
Okay.
And the miners are all using consensus to approve of the transaction.
Okay.
Okay, so now... it's gotten really expensive because of the DeFi space that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
People are excited about the profits. Some people are making 200% profits wow. on a lot of these DeFi loans.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's because as the crypto bull market has come back, stuff's going up. So they're able to trade and then they're using the they're able to get a loan, trade. They use the profits to make more profits, pay their loan back, and now they just increase their own stack, like I mentioned, right?
Mm.
So there's a lot of fees, though. There's a lot of fees because as the network gets congested, I think it was like in May, the network got so congested to the point where it was taking 45 minutes to process a transaction on Ethereum, which is outrageous. Like, it's supposed to settle within like a couple minutes, if anything.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be very quick. So what Ethereum has been known for until, well, even right now, is about 14 transactions per second, right? So Visa does thousands. They do like a couple thousand transactions per second. OMG Network just launched mainnet. And actually today, like this morning, they announced that Tether is live on OMG Plasma. So you can transact Tether. Like I was saying earlier, there's billions of dollars transacting through the air for arbitrage markets and all this stuff. You're going to be able to transact Tether for 1/3 the price of the current ETH gas fee.
Yeah, that's a lot of words. Okay. Hold on. I just want to break it down a little bit because you didn't even explain Tether. You kind of touched on it.
Tether is always going to be tied to the US dollar algorithmically.
Okay.
So people use it because they know that if I sell my Bitcoin right now into Tether and Bitcoin goes down $100, I could buy my Bitcoin back for whatever it was worth plus $100. Mm-hmm. So now I got more Bitcoin than I had before. So thanks Tether, I use Tether, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're like, I want to not worry about volatility right now because I'm going to on vacation and I'm a trader and I don't want to just have my money sitting somewhere where I can't trade in and out, I'm going to go with a Tether, right? And so that's what a lot of people do because it's stable.
Mm-hmm.
It's crypto, but it's stable.
Got it.
And so, but the congestion and all the high fees have been because of Tether mostly. We're talking $40 billion now. It was $32 billion a week ago. We're talking $40 billion a day transacts via Ethereum, like because of Tether alone.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you take that and do what's called a layer 2 solution, it's built on top of Ethereum, so therefore it is secured by Ethereum. That's what OMG Network is. You're now able to transact via layer 2 with the same security for cheaper because OMG batches their transactions and they can do 4,000 transactions per second, which is way better than 14.
Right.
So that's kind of what's just starting to explode out there, is that OMG is going to help scale Ethereum so that when people use Ethereum on things called like CryptoKitties and all this stuff, and I think Paris Hilton just sold a piece of art on Ethereum.
Mm.
Like, so she tokenized her artwork.
She painted it or something?
She painted it via digitally.
Uh-huh.
And then she sold it via Ethereum for like $18,000 for charity.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it all just got settled via crypto.
Huh.
Isn't that wild? So, yeah, all that stuff will be easier and cheaper because OMG Network's going to be scaling Tether on the side, right? So now it frees up Ethereum for regular use.
So what does that mean for me? Let's say like I have like $1,000 right now. Like, what can I do with it in the crypto space?
Well, I'm not giving financial advice.
Right, true.
That's not my thing. I'm not an expert.
We're not financial advisors. But if I wanted to, if I gave you $1,000 right now, what would you do in the crypto space?
I just did it last night.
What would you do?
I bought OMG with it.
Right, and why?
So Bitfinex is the first cryptocurrency exchange that has used OMG Network.
Okay.
For Tether transactions. So right now, if you're a trader on Bitfinex, you can just log in and transact via OMG Network seamlessly using their exchange. Tomorrow, Huobi, which is a gigantic exchange, I think they're in Japan, they're going to announce that they're going to use OMG Network to transact. And so now you have two entities, but one, Huobi, has hundreds of millions of dollars in volume compared to Bitfinex. I think they had like $10 million in volume a day. So now you have crypto that people are using, right? Because that's the biggest problem with crypto right now. People really don't use it very much other than like, I'm paying you, you're paying me, or even this in this DeFi space, I am going to go trade with a high risk loan, right? And then I'm yield farming, I'm going to hopefully make a lot of money off the top of this loan that I'm giving out, right? So a lot of people aren't using it though, like normally. And that's what I'm excited about for this is the arbitrage market, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, is going to be able to use OMG Network so that you can transact via blockchain quickly. Like it's almost like email fast. Like I got this shit on my phone. Mm-hmm. Like I can send you a transaction. I had somebody send me something and I was showing Nikki because I'm super nerd about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very fast.
Couldn't tell you were a nerd about it.
And so I just love this stuff, man. I'm just excited about it. I'm excited about the whole Ethereum space. I'm excited that Ethereum scaling is happening.
What's the arbitrage industry?
So arbitrage markets is like if something's worth a dollar on one exchange.
Oh, gotcha.
It's worth $1.02 on another exchange. You can potentially profit off of that.
I see.
Difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's super cool.
Because it goes so fast.
Because it goes so fast. And so that's the other incentive is that if you're in arbitrage trading,
mm-hmm.
and you want to, and it is last May, and you're trying to arbitrage between two different exchanges and the disparity that they have in the price of something, and you got to wait 45 minutes for Ethereum to clear up, you're fucked. Like, you're fucked.
Yeah. So
that's kind of what scaling Ethereum does, is it opens the lanes of the road. And what's cool about OMG Network is eventually they'll have staking so that, and I've been talking about this for a long time, but they'll eventually finally actually have staking where the road that I'm talking about that's being opened up, you will own part of the lanes. You get paid same way miners do right now for people transacting on the network.
Mm.
So,
based on how many tokens you have?
Yeah, based on how many tokens that you put into a smart contract for staking.
Mm.
And it's really, you're part of another security layer because it'll be decentralized. Like you're one of many people running what's called a watcher, and you're making sure that the transactions that happened aren't fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can't double spend on any network if there's somebody there making sure that you actually sent that money.
I see.
And just say you did.
Yeah.
Because that's the problem with any currency that you could set up is how do you know that somebody actually spent it?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a double spend problem, you don't have a currency that people can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So running an incentivized watcher gives you reason to want to make sure that the transactions are clean and then you get paid for it.
I see.
Yeah.
But you're not actually sitting there watching it. You're like...
Well, you run... I don't know how all that's going to work yet, but you run what's called a watcher and it's a program that you're running.
I see.
Like almost like how they do Bitcoin and Ethereum right now where people run nodes. And they mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to that,
mm.
But it's not one entity doing all of it.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that is a lot of information to take in, but it's very exciting. I'm excited for all the things to come, and I'm glad that you understand it.
Listen, I'm trying to communicate it. Okay, I'm sorry if it's been confusing.
No, it's great. It's really sexy how like nerdy you are.
I love
about
this
it.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I love about it the most, right, is what I opened the show with, right?
Yeah.
Right now, there's a central authority, and like, how many people have a great experience with a bank? They charge you stupid fees for stupid things all the time.
Yeah.
Now there's talk that they even want to charge you for having an account at all when they use your money to make more money. Like everything that I've been talking about with all these markets, right, where people want to take their own money and use that to make more money. That's what the banks literally do with your money right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no more a scam than our banking system.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge. The banking system is a huge scam.
And that's what is getting – so I just want to take it away from them and put into your pocket so mm-hmm. that you can use your phone anywhere in the world. You can transact one currency for the other permissionlessly without anyone – saying you can or can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Borderless, you can do it in any country. Western Union's fucked, right? How much money does Western Union make for cross-border payment transfer? It's fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
Huge billion-dollar industry there. And that would be disrupted overnight. Like, the ability for somebody to send money to their family in Mexico right now via blockchain without anyone's permission for a very, very small fee because you don't have to pay for security is where it's all going, dude. So that's where it's interesting for everyone listening is that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. It's already happening right now. It's just that it's all getting fine-tuned and finished up so that we can all use it easily. Because that's what needs to happen is that when you, whenever, wherever you go, wherever you live, you should just be able to not be at the whim of a bank that gets to decide whether you're going to transact or not.
Yeah, I hate that.
Me too. I've hated it forever. So I'm just stoked that there's actually, thanks to Satoshi Nakamoto, there's a whole community that sprang up around the idea of saying, nah, I don't think it's cool that you guys just get to print all the money and tell everyone how it's going to be. Like, we don't have any power if as long as they're able to do that.
Yeah.
And so, yes, everyone's cynical out there who's like, well, you're never going to beat them, all this stuff. Dude, or it's all bubble. Dude, I've heard that for years.
Mm-hmm.
2013, everyone said that was a bubble. 2018, everyone said, or 17, everyone said that was a bubble. But now here we are. It's 2020. Everyone's talking about crypto again. More people are using it than ever.
Mm-hmm.
More money now is being transacted in crypto than ever. It is not a bubble. It is a technology being used, just like when everyone had ovens and then the microwave came out and everyone's like, why would I use a microwave? I have an oven.
It's the tipping point thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a book by, I believe, Malcolm Gladwell, right?
Is it? I think so.
Yeah, it's by Malcolm Gladwell, and it's all about that, about how when something, when idea first pops up, everyone calls it fucking stupid, mm-hmm. and everyone laughs at it and says, that'll never happen. And then, like, after it goes over the tipping point, it's, like, wildly accepted, where, like, you don't accept it. You're, like, crazy. Like, people that say they don't use microwaves anymore, we, like, look at them and we're, like,
you're nuts.
You're crazy.
I like, do,
why,
actually.
Why don't you use your microwave?
My own brother doesn't want to use a microwave. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're right.
I will say food tastes better not in the microwave. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Like if I over, but I don't want to spend 45 minutes baking it.
It doesn't heat up in a balanced way.
Right.
It's like uneven. Yeah.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
But point being, this is the microwave.
Yeah. Right?
It's not tulips. Or whatever people like to say it is.
Yeah.
There was a thing called tulip mania where tulips were worth a fuck ton of money because everyone wanted them for a very short period of time and it was a complete bubble that burst. And
yeah.
So people like Warren Buffett like to go, it's just tulips about crypto, but they don't understand it. And they go, I don't want to buy it because I don't understand it. And then at the same time, they denounce it as tulips.
Yeah, I can understand, like, I don't want to buy it because I don't understand it.
I do too.
But denouncing something that you don't understand is that's
wild.
Tough. Yeah. I don't agree with that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for helping us.
Thank you for being with me, folks.
Understand everything.
I hope that I was able to digest some of the stuff for you guys. And if you have any questions, please let
us know in the comments. I mean, I'm sure I will have questions later.
And if you have crypto questions, send them to podcast@nikki.lima.
Yeah.
Because when we do ask us anything,
you can literally ask anything.
You can literally ask us anything.
People choose to ask about their relationships, but you
which
can
is fine.
Ask about crypto.
And we love that too.
We do love that.
So. Thanks for listening, everybody. And if you like this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating. It really helps a lot. And share this with your friends. That helps so much, too.
It really does. We also have bonus episodes of Should They Don't Tell You on Patreon. It's called Should They Don't Tell You After Dark.
After Dark.
And we do another podcast on there, too, called We Just Woke Up. So check it out.
Put
the links in the description. And we will see you next time.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Bye.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.